open your Bibles and put a finger on Genesis chapter 16 and a finger on Genesis chapter 21. Yes, it's my last Sunday, so I have to preach twice. It is two messages in one, and that's just the way life is sometimes. This has been an incredible walk with the Lord as we walk through Genesis. And the Lord has some really incredible things to talk to us. Now, as we've been walking through Genesis, now this is part 9 for those who are online. Yes, part 9. So you have to go through once a month going all the way back. And so we are in part 9, and we've been following the altars, and we did offer God the first fruits, and we did thankfulness, and then we did 6 altars dealing with the man of faith, Abraham, and he is just incredible and just awesome. And we watch him as he struggles with life, and he struggles with the relationship with God, and we've been watching him. But I want you to know that there is a dark side of the flip side. There is a dark side even to men of faith, and it was never more real to me, and my heart is breaking listening to the stories of Rabbi Zacharias this last week that just broke and crushed the Christian world in many ways. And this is the flip side. And I want to bring hope, because even though men of God fail, even though men of faith mess up, and they mess up royally sometimes, and we're going to look at some royal mess ups today, we serve a God who works on the other side, not just with his favorites, as some might say. We serve a God that loves in an incredible way. And I think of the Rabbi Zacharias. I think of the women that is crushed, disappointed about this man who was one way on the outside and another way in their presence. Then I think of the brokenness of his wife and his kids, as his private sin is now public throughout the whole world. There's people that know all over that never heard of him before. And the pain and the hurt. And I pray for those women, because I want those women to know that God sees and hears them as well. I don't know where I'm going today. I have a whole bunch of notes. But I want to talk about this woman, Hagar. I've never been a slave, even though I feel like a slave some days. But I've never been a slave. You kind of wonder how she became a slave in Abram's house. Was it out of the sin of Abraham and Sarah going down to Egypt and they're lying and this or that, and Pharaoh gives him maidservants and this and sends them away? Was she part of a gift, a switch from Pharaoh's house to Abram's house? Or was she bought at a slave market? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. Nor does the Bible tell us why she's a slave. Did her dad run out of money and have a debt and sold his daughter into slavery to cancel a debt? Was she married and had a husband, and the husband died and she had no way of making anything meet, and she was sold into slavery? Or maybe her husband became a person in debt. Maybe she was captured in a prison of war. We do not know any of these things, but we do know that there's despair in slavery. How many scars are already on her heart? Was she abused? Was she whipped? We don't know that. But we assume that when she was sold from Pharaoh or wherever and came into a man of faith house, that her life got better. Maybe life changed. things got a little better. But we also have to remember, here is this slave that was taken from Egypt and moved to Canaan. She had to learn a new language. I wonder what that's like as a slave. You make a mistake on the words and all of a sudden you're getting beat or yelled at or screamed at because you don't understand. And then all of a sudden you're used to praying to Ra, the sun god, or Isis, or all your gods. And now here this funny man worships a god you can't see and you can't hear. And nobody in the house is able to worship any other gods but his. And all of a sudden, you are in a place. Not only that, you become a servant to Sarah. That means that you get to do the dishes. That means you get to do everything that she doesn't want to do. And some of the women in here say, that would be nice to have a slave like that so I wouldn't have to do all these things. But guess what? That's not the land that we live in. I guess you can hire them out. She did not get to decide her wages. She did not get to decide her hours. She was on 7 days a week, all day long, 24/7, 365 days a year. And on... But life goes from bad to worse. All of a sudden, her mistress gets an idea saying, I can't have a child. I'm going to give my slave to you to sleep with so that you can have a baby and that we will raise that baby as ours. Not only are they taking away her dignity, they're taking away her child. And it may be that Hagar says, hey, this might be a step up. I might be treated better. I might get better food. It may be all of those things. And it was culturally accepted, but I don't care about whether you're culturally accepted or not. That doesn't make it feel any better if you're the woman that is in that situation who might be quite a bit younger sleeping with an 85-year-old man. That does not sound to me like a very good option. But this is the place that Hagar is in. I wonder if she started praying to Ra and saying, Ra, get me out of here. Screaming to Isis and saying, hey, would you free me from this place? Did she pray over and over again? She was still a slave. Had to sleep with an 85-year-old man until she conceived. Then, for goodness sake, I hope it's a boy and not a girl. Am I getting real? Sex without love might improve her station. She finally conceives. All of a sudden, she knows that a child is in her, and she has the heir to this wealthy family living inside of her. And all of a sudden, she looked at Sarah and said, I'm now more valuable than you are. And she despised, according to the scripture, verse 4, chapter 16, verse 4a, says, when she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. And she let Sarah know at every opportunity, you can't have a child. Look at verse 5. It changes real fast when that happens in the house. When the woman of the house is being despised, there's nobody in that house that's happy. Nobody. And Sarah goes to Abraham and says, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now she knows she is pregnant, and she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Isn't that how sin is? Sin promises a lot of stuff, doesn't it? Look at the sin, and not other people's lives. Look at the sin in your lives, the lies that you believed. And all of a sudden, when you did that sin, all of a sudden, reality, the blinders fall off, and you say, oh my goodness, oh my, I did this? I can't believe I did it. And the blinders just fall off, and you realize that you've sinned. And that's the same thing that Sarah felt. As soon as that woman was pregnant, as soon as this all plays out, she says, I've messed up. But I'm not alone in this. I'm the one that gave the idea to my husband. He's the one that did it. Let him judge. He should have been wise enough to know that this was a foolish and dumb thing to do. And Abram says, don't look at me. She's your slave. Treat her as you feel. And life became really bad for Hagar. You want to talk about sin of other people, of good people? It hurts other people drastically. There's always consequences for sin. You might think that you're getting away with it. You might think that nobody knows. You might think it's okay. But let me tell you, when it comes to fruition, sin will destroy you and kill you from the inside out. And other people often pay the price. Hagar gets in such a bad position, she runs away into the desert where there's no water, no food, and she's running for her life. And she has had it. Nobody cares. Nobody sees her. Nobody hears her. Nobody cares. And she's running, and my Bible tells me that the Lord sends an angel to go talk to her. The Lord sends an angel to go speak. Have any of you had an angel show up at your house lately? No, but you've had the Holy Spirit. But that's beside the point. You had something better, but I'm just... Listen to verse 8. It says, Hagar, servant of Sarah, what? Where are you come from and where you're going? He already knows all those things. But she needs to know. And she says, I'm running away from my mistress Sarah. And then the angel of the Lord, this would have been tough to hear. The angel of the Lord says, go back to your mistress and submit to her. How many have prayed for new jobs? And the Lord said, no, I put you there. There's a reason I have you there. But Lord! You don't know what I'm going through! And the Lord says, I have stuff for you to learn, and I have stuff because there's somebody there that doesn't know Christ, and they need you, and you're going to lead them to Christ. But I don't want to! It's bad! And the Lord says, no! Go back and submit. And it's like, I'm a slave, Lord! It's not right! And the Lord says, submit and go back. But he doesn't say submit to go back without a promise. Look at this. Look what the Lord says. I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count. And the angel of the Lord says, you are now with child. You will have a what? That should have brought such relief. Up to now, it could be a boy or a girl, and I need a son to be an heir. That nightmare is over. Can you hear her relief? And then the Lord says, I want you to know I already have named your child. His name is Ishmael because God hears you. God hears your misery. God hears your trouble. God hears you. And then he tells her some things she probably doesn't want to hear. He's going to be a wild donkey of a man. He's going to be fighting with his family members forever, and they're still fighting today. But I want you to know that you'll have many nations. Can you imagine what that feels like? Here you are, a slave. You prayed to Ra, you prayed to Isis, you prayed to everybody that would listen, and all of a sudden, the God of the universe, the God of gods, the creator God, hears you, not only hears you, but sees you. Her life changes. How many times are we lonely and we think nobody's out there, nobody cares? But God hears and he sees you. He does not get her out of that bad situation. He, in fact, tells her to go back. But she knows that there's a God who cares for her. Hagar says, I have seen the one who sees me. Have you seen God? Verse 13 says, you are the God who sees me, for I have seen the one who sees me. And then she names that place Beer Lahai Roy, the well of the living one who sees me. That's what it means. God sees her and healing starts to take place in her heart. God sends her back. Abram and Sarah will feed her, will take care of her, will take care of her when she has a child, and that is how God's providing for her at that time. Now let's jump 15, 16 years later. Genesis chapter 21, starting at verse 8, let's stand for the reading of God's word. Genesis chapter 21. Starting at verse 8, we'll be reading down to 21. The child, that is Isaac, grew and was weaned. On the day Isaac was weaned, Abram held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar, the Egyptian, had borne to Abraham was mocking him. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son. For the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. Let me repeat that. Abraham is concerned because it is concerned his son. But God said to him, do not be distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make a son of the maidservant into a nation also, because he is your offspring. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. She set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way, wandered in the desert of Beersheba. But when the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down nearby, about a bow shot away, and for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And she sat there nearby, and she began to sob. That's an understatement. God heard the boy crying. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy. As he grew up, he lived in the desert, became an archer, and while he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. Lord, may you continue to anoint this message in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We jump 15 years. Hagar had to submit for another 15 years. another 15 years. Yeah, things probably did get better now that she had a son, the son growing up, and she got to see him grow up and be with her son. But Isaac is now being weaned from his mom. And Abraham throws a party. And at the party, Ishmael, this is kind of funny, is mocking Isaac. And in the Hebrew, it's Isaac Misak, playing around with words. Isaac means laughter, and Ishmael was laughing at Isaac. They're laughing at each other, mocking him. And guess what? When you mock somebody's kid with mama present, that's like getting between a bear and her cubs. It's not a smart thing to do. Now you have two mamas, two sons. Oh, it's not going to end well. And it didn't end well. Sarah in verse 10 says, get rid of the slave woman and her son. Get them out. I'm done with them. They're going to make fun of my son. They're out. This whole situation is because Abraham and Sarah sinned. This dysfunctional family is because of sin. Everything is there is a response of good people messing up. And she is cut off and removed. When it happened today in the States like that, the woman and her son is set off with a little bit of food and water, and that's it. No money in their packs. Just sent off. And as I was wrestling with God and fighting with God, saying this is not right, he goes, you know what? When you deal with sin, you have to cut it all the way off. You can't play with sin. Because guess what? Having Hagar there is probably not putting clean thoughts in Abraham's mind. Having those situations is probably not good for the marriage. When there is sin in the camp, it has to be cut off. And it has to be cut off completely. You can't play around with sin or the consequences of sin. And God says, cut it off. Now, the flip side is, from Abraham's view, he's cut off and it's painful. That's his son. There's nothing more painful than that. He's not going to see Ishmael again. It's cut off. That is painful. But I want you to know that we serve a God who what? Hears and sees. God saw Hagar. God saw Ishmael. And God is Hagar's provider. God is Ishmael's provider, not Abraham. But we're going to look at the flip side, aren't we? Hagar just got the most precious gift in her entire life when she got sent away. She got her freedom. Incredible. She's probably prayed for freedom, that she'd be set free all her life as a slave. Now she is free. And it's incredible. She's free. I imagine that she's walking away with her son. She had a high step and said, I am free. Nobody can tell me to wash dishes. Nobody can tell me to do this. Nobody can tell me I am free. Just like a kid turning 18 and leaving the house. Mommy can't do this. Mommy can't do that. Blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, what? Responsibility comes in, because with freedom comes what? Responsibility. Now Hagar had to figure out where her food is coming from. Now Hagar had to figure out where her clothes are coming from. Now Hagar had to figure all these out. And she wasn't ready. But God was. Life got really quick, hard, really tough, really quick. She walked and walked and walked, and her son, without water in the desert, was in trouble. And she had to lay her son underneath a tree, underneath the shade, to protect him. and her mama heart was broken and crushed. She moved a bow shot away and said, I can't watch this. I can't watch this son that I gave birth to, the one that I've kissed the boo-boos. I can't watch this. And God speaks again. What's the matter? Hagar, don't be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift him up, take him by the hand, and I'll make him into a great nation. What's the matter? And I believe this is what God is speaking to you guys today. What's the matter? You think God's not been hearing you? You think God's not been paying attention? He has been paying attention, and he's here. And he's saying, don't be afraid. I am with you. And it says that the Lord opened her eyes, and there was a well. And she went and got water and gave her son water. And then really doesn't tell us the rest of the story. All we know is that God's making him to a great nation. But which mother would not be so proud to have it said that God was what? With her son as he grew up. That is an awesome gift. You see, God even cares about slaves, the outcasts, the ones that nobody sees. God sees them and hears them. God sees her. And God allowed her to see him. God became real and changed her life. God summarized Hagar's face with this. God was not summarized. God rewarded Hagar's faith with a son that God walked with. Not only that, she got to see him grow up to be an archer. Got to see him get married to an Egyptian. Notice that she went back home. God didn't get him a Canaanite woman. No, I'm an Egyptian. I'm going to go get you an Egyptian. And you know what's incredible? In time, Isaac's son, Esau, will marry Ishmael's daughter. God has a way of doing incredible things behind the scenes. And we don't talk much about Esau, but I want you to know that God sees Esau, God hears Esau, God hears the other side of the fence. And even though, as we often preach, we go down, we talk about Abraham being a great man of faith, but I want you to know that God sees the other side as well. And God is merciful and just, and he's walking beside them. Today, I want you to know that God cares about you. Sometimes we feel like an outcast when we make a mistake and we mess up. And as men and women of faith, God cares and hears you. He sees your situation, and he sees all of it, no matter how bad it is, no matter how bad it's messed up, and no matter how convoluted it is. Talking to all of us today, those online, those in here, God sees. He hears. He hears even in the middle of the night when there are tears on your pillow and your pillow is soaked with tears because your heart is breaking. He sees that. But I want you to know that God has a solution. He wants you to open your eyes and he wants you to see the living water, which is Jesus Christ himself. You see, Hagar opened up and saw a well of water. When we wake up, it's Jesus that we see, the living water that he pours out to us, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. God offers us living water today. If you respond to God's call of repentance and faith, he will give you new life. He will free you from sin. And he will take you by the hand and lift you up. And he will fulfill all the purposes that he has for you in his life. It may be bad right now. It may be that God is saying, hey, I want you to go back and submit. It may be that you're finally set free and God says, now in your freedom, follow me and walk with me. Jesus offers living water to all of us today. Let's partake together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you most of all, Father, that you see the other side. Lord, you see those that we don't see. You hear those that we don't hear. And Lord, even us here today have messed up in such a way that there's other people that has paid our penalty for our sin and our mess ups. And Lord, we ask that you would hear and deliver those people, that you would set them free in a powerful way. Lord, that you would give us all living water, that we may have grace and repentance, that we may live a life with you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you're going to do. And as we leave this place, may your grace abound to us. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.